warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
I'm Adam Minahan.
I'm David Niles.
Dude, you keep interrupting me already. Is this how we're going to start the episode? This is how we're going to start it.
It already happened.
Well, I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles in the studio. And welcome to the Catholic Man Show.
Welcome.
Dave, we do three things every episode on the Catholic Man Show. Why don't you let them know what it is? In order.
Okay, thing number one. We open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage, which we are going to do here in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, We drink on the show.
Yes.
It's awesome. No, we're not ashamed. We drink proudly here on the Catholic Man Show. The second thing we do is we highlight a man gear of some kind. This is just dude stuff that probably every dude wants or has.
Or is trying to buy. Yep.
And then we talk about why it's manly. You know, what's maybe the virtue behind it? That kind of stuff. Then finally, we have what some have called the most manly discussion you've ever heard in your life. And that's what we do on the Catholic Man Show. So, Adam.
And this episode won't disappoint.
This will be no exception.
Yes, no exception.
Because we're winners. We have a winning formula.
Yes, we're regiment. We let you know as the listener what we're going to be doing every episode. So,
Let's get to this manly beverage.
The first segment is, like Dave said, we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. And today is going to be a treat because today's man beverage is a bourbon whiskey. We typically stay in, our realm is normally like a scotch or a bourbon or some kind of craft beer.
Yeah.
Something that the finer things in life, finer drinks in life, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And today's no exception because it is a bourbon. It's one that is brought to you by our buddy Juan Posada.
Shout out to Juan.
He's the one who donated this drink for us for the show today. So it is Colonel E.H. Taylor Small Batch.
I think it's Junior. Colonel E.H. Taylor Jr.
Small Batch. Thank you. Yes,
it says
correct.
It on the sleeve,
you're
but
correct.
Not on the bottle, the junior part.
You're correct, and so it's an American bourbon, and it is a small batch, like you said. It's really interesting because it is a Buffalo Trace product, which one of my favorite bourbons is an Eagle Rare,
which was also brought to us by Juan Posada.
Yes, yeah, he was one that introduced us to that. You're right.
Is that right, or was that?
No, I think he did.
Was that Vince?
Ooh, it may have been Vince.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Well, shout out to both Juan and Vince for the Eagle Rare back in the day.
Yes. So anyway, let's get into this because we'll cheers and then we'll give our tasting notes on it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus. Go ahead and try it. Well, I'm still nosing. I'm still saying, hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah. So the purpose
Hello.
Of, you do have to get to know the whiskey. And the first thing you do, a lot of whiskey drinkers don't understand or realize, is that you have to start out by smelling the whiskey. it forms the palate before you drink it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, kind of gets you ready for what you're about to dive into. So how was it? What are your initial thoughts?
It's very interesting. The nose is very, very easy going, but the palate, I instantly get like this cherry wood, almost like cherry oak wood. On the initial,
it is definitely oaky.
Uh huh.
In a more direct way, than I think whiskey normally is. I don't know if that's going to make any sense to anybody not sitting here trying it with us.
Well, because it is small batch, that it would be more of a oaky wood.
Right, yeah, so it's not in a, it's in a smaller barrel.
Right. It is very interesting. I really enjoy it. It does have a strong peppery kick at the very end.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's really good. So it's made by, you know, it says Colonel Edmund Hayes Taylor Jr. was a Civil War army man. I don't know. I mean, colonel, army colonel.
Great. Which side did he fight on? That's a big deal these days.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's a...
He fought on neither side. He was just a colonel.
He was just...
didn't fight on any side.
But it's a straight Kentucky bourbon whiskey. I really like the presentation of the bottle.
Yeah, it's a cool bottle.
It's a cool bottle. Very old school. Has his signature
on
it.
Got like a picture here on the side of
the distillery and then
probably
the picture
what it used
him.
To look like.
Yeah.
Man, when is the guy on the bottle, he's wearing a top hat. When is the top hat coming back?
I don't know.
Do you think it ever is coming back?
I hope so.
I think it's awesome.
I would, yeah. I really like it. So I hope
I would wear one
it does.
If I just didn't feel ridiculous wearing
it. Or like super weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what, Dave? It's crazy the whiskey just world right now. There's a lot of things happening in the whiskey world.
Totally.
Especially like, you know, American whiskeys are really kind of becoming a thing here in America. So they're not like bourbons, they're not scotches, they're American whiskeys.
Yeah.
And
like Cleveland whiskey. Uh-huh. Hopefully we can feature one of those in the show soon. Reached out to us.
I think they're gonna send us some.
I hope they do.
You know, we've tried Stranahan's before.
Stranahan's is great.
But you know, they're trying to get it where on the liquor aisles it's their own aisle. You know, their own, like, because they don't want to have this perception of, you know, with a buyer, if it's in the Scotch section or if it's in the bourbon section, you know, you have these preconceived notions of what it's going to taste like.
Right.
Which isn't what they want. And so they're trying their best to get their own aisle or their own area to have American whiskeys.
Well, I think that would be good just for educational purposes for the buyer, because a lot of people don't know. They think there's bourbon and Scotch. I think a lot of people think that.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe they say, oh, and some Canadian whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not from Bourbon County, Kentucky, it ain't bourbon.
Just like if it's not from Scotland,
it
it's
ain't
not Scotch.
If it ain't from Champagne, France, it's called sparkling wine.
Right.
Right. So, they can only make so much bourbon. Because it's not that big of a place.
And it's a dry county.
It's a dry county. It's the weirdest thing. So, anyway, people like Stranahan's out of Colorado, they're an American whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe someday the term bourbon will be applied more broadly. Who knows?
Doubtful.
I doubt it. It depends on if they're similar. Because there's some, I'll tell you what, when the American whiskey phase began, I had some nasty American whiskeys.
Hmm.
I mean, some of them were bad. But in the last 3 years, 5 years, man, now they're all really good.
Yeah.
I still have some bad ones every now and then. But.
Well, this Colonel Taylor small batch is, it doesn't say exactly how many years. It's unidentified as.
Is it a blend?
No, it's a it's a straight bourbon.
So they might not want to say because it's
the
lower.
The consensus is about 7.
I was gonna guess maybe 6, but if it's a small batch, it's in a smaller barrel. That means the wood to whiskey ratio is higher, so that there's more wood per ounce. There's more surface area contact per ounce of whiskey in the barrel because it's a smaller barrel, which means that the aging effect is going to take place faster than in a full-sized barrel.
So for the people who may be tuning in for the very first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, why are we drinking?
Well, why wouldn't we drink, first of all? But no, really, it's a good question. I think it's one that deserves an answer, and we like to give it out from time to time on the show. We drink for a couple of reasons. A, because this is the Catholic Man Show. We believe God created the world, because he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he created the world good, and everything inside the world is good. and they should be enjoyed for their goodness. Now, you can take things and you can use them poorly, alcohol being one of them. You can drink to excess, and that's not a good thing. That's not what we do. Here on the Catholic Man Show, we always exercise moderation. And so we realized it's easy to talk about moderation, but it's more effective if you display a virtue. Displaying virtue, I think, is just a more impactful teaching lesson than simply saying, you should live chastity.
Yeah.
You should just do it.
Right.
It's better, I think, if you step up and lead by example. Like, see? I do it too because I believe what I preach.
Right.
So we believe what we preach here on the Catholic Man Show.
Mm-hmm. And moderation looks different for every man.
Very true. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because some dudes out there have come to the where they've realized about themselves, moderation means zero for them. And we salute them. We toast to those gentlemen. Let's do it now.
Let's do it right now. Yeah.
Cheers to
everybody who has self-mastery.
Indeed. We raise our glass to you. Someday in heaven, we'll all have a huge glass of whiskey or wine, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe wine. But it's going to be awesome wine.
If it was St. Bridget, she was hoping for a lake of beer.
For a lake of beer.
God,
that would sound so awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why we drink. This is the first segment of the Catholic Man Show, where we highlight, we'll be sipping on Colonel E.H. Taylor Small Batch, a straight Kentucky bourbon throughout the show.
Mm.
This next segment is going to be where we jump into the man gear.
So buckle up.
And then the next two segments we'll be having our man topic. Hang in there. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here in studio with Adam Minahan. If this is your first episode that you have ever heard of the Catholic Man Show, then God bless you. The reason we call this place the studio is because it's kind of Adam's study, more like our studio. It's the studio.
There you go.
Also, someone recently pointed out that we are two studs.
So it's really the
stud EO.
Yeah. That's
and
really what
that
it is.
That to me makes sense.
Yep.
Well, I get that.
We appreciate logic and it's sealed tight.
And I just recognize the truth about myself.
Right.
And my studliness.
Also, if you've been listening for a little while and haven't had a chance to, please go over to iTunes and review the Catholic Man Show. It really helps spread the show to other people.
Also, feel free to review the show on any platform or any space that you desire. If you have chalk and you just want to go write a review about us on the sidewalk, do it.
Do it. Take a picture. We'll post it.
Yeah.
Well, pending what you say.
Please, we do not promote vandalizing of properties.
No, we do
not. Feel free
to
vandalize your own property with the Catholic Man Show review.
Yeah.
Get creative, you know?
Get creative.
Yeah.
We'll send you a Catholic Man Show bumper sticker if that's really what you want.
Totes.
We have those.
Yeah.
So, this last episode, we've been drinking, Colonel E.H. Taylor Small Batch Straight Kentucky Bourbon Whiskey. It's a really great...
Junior. Did you say junior?
I don't know. I don't think I did.
It's the junior.
It is junior. I don't think there's any difference. I think it's all the same. It's the same dude.
Yeah. It's so confusing.
It's 100 proof. It's really good. We drink
it neat. We didn't say that. It's 100 proof.
We drink it
neat. Do we have any water? Do we have any water up in his house?
No.
That's too bad.
I forgot to pay my water bill. So.
Oh, that was a mistake. There's some water right here.
That's just, that is distilled water. Yeah. You can use some of that. So anyway, that was our last episode. That last segment. This segment, we jump into the man gear. And the man gear for this week is boxing gloves, which I think is...
Booyah!
I think that's a great... That was your idea, Dave. And I thought, that is a great idea.
It's a pretty manly thing.
In fact, I love seeing the videos of like little kids with boxing gloves and they're sparring with their dad, you know, hitting, you know, training and stuff like that. I think that's really cool to see. Cause some of those kids are like, you worry like that they may be able to beat up like an adult, how fast their hands are. Anyway, so I went to Academy.
Depends on what size kid you're talking about.
Well, have you seen some of those videos that I was talking
about? Well, I've seen one with Mr. Mario Lopez.
Right. With
his
son.
Kid. But his kid's like 4.
Right.
He's not going to beat up
No,
any.
But I mean,
sure, he's got good form.
Right.
Speaking of which, spoiler alert, Mario Lopez is going to be the guest on our show today.
Yes.
Here in the second half of the episode. And we thought boxing gloves fit because he is somewhat of a boxing aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's the right word? Aficionado?
Maybe. Maybe not. But, you know, it's also a big-time topic because we just had the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and we also have upcoming this weekend the Triple G Canelo fight.
Yeah.
Which
Who do you think's going to win?
You know, I'm going with Triple G.
That's what I think, too.
He's younger, and that's why. I mean, I think Canelo is he's a proven boxer. Kind of stone hands, like, but when it comes to a boxer who is, you know, in their 30s and a boxer who's like in their 20s, like mid 20s, a lot of times I lean towards the mid 20s.
Yeah. For me, it was kind of a toss up and I just had a gut feeling about Triple G. So that was kind of my decision. But boxing gloves, we tried to look up the history of boxing. And it might surprise you that dudes have been fighting each other since dudes have been dudes. So the history was awfully difficult to ascertain. However, ancient Greece was such a big fan of the sport that they put it in the Olympics.
Yeah, because they actually thought that like the Greek gods did that as a sport.
Right, up on the Mount Olympus. And
yes.
So, and we're talking like BC era.
Yeah,
okay,
688, I think.
I mean...
To be exact.
Dudes have been punching each other in the face for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't always been wearing gloves, though.
That's true. Bare-knuckle boxing was a thing for quite a while.
I'm not sure if bare-knuckle boxing is more manly, but it's certainly more serious.
It is definitely more serious. And I think, you know, the reason why they have boxing gloves is because with bare-knuckle fighting, your knuckles end up breaking before somebody else...
Before you knock someone out.
Right.
Or people die, or...
Right. So
it's a brutal sport. I'm not sure. I'm not actually sure it's a sport. Maybe it's a sport.
Bare knuckle. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure,
but boxing is certainly a sport. And we want to talk about it because every man should have some knowledge about how to defend himself. You just never know when you're going to have to defend the honor of, someone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a poor lady at the grocery store.
Maybe your wife.
Or your wife or your daughters.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Socrates say something like, he said something like, it is a tragedy for a man not to know his peak physical strength.
I don't know, but...
I'm pretty sure he said
that. That guy is always stealing my material.
I know, Socrates. I know, he is.
It's like, lay it off, man. I mean... I said that already.
There is something that is, you know, I wrestled in high school, and wrestling and boxing, you know, they're not the exact same, but there is similarities in the fact of that.
Just ask McGregor.
Yeah, just ask me. Yeah, exactly. there is similarities in the fact that it provides confidence in somebody, you know, with self-defense that you can hold your own.
Sure, yeah.
And it's a very disciplined sport. You think you're in shape? Go, like, punch... You know, punch a punching bag for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens.
Yeah.
It's very tough. You're very winded very quickly. So I think that the sport of boxing provides men with discipline and pushing themselves past what their mental capacity may be or what their physical capacity may be. You know,
what they think their physical capacity is.
Yeah, what they think their physical capacity could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's always that mental
perception
of, oh, I'm dead. I can't go. I can't keep going.
Right.
And then you are able to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, that's when I think about the Passion of Jesus, and which one of what was the hardest between, you know, he's got the agony in the garden, the scourging of the pillar, the crowning with thorns, carrying of the cross, and the crucifixion itself. To me, I think the carrying of the cross had to be the hardest one, because it's the only one that was up to his willpower to continue.
Mm.
You know, the scourging may have been the most painful. I don't know. I've never been scourged, praise Jesus, or crucified. So I don't know. Okay.
Right.
But I know that they both suck.
Right. They're both not good.
No.
Not fun.
But the carrying of the cross is the only one where he had to continue, like, to decide.
Right.
To put his foot in front of the other. And, you know, like, that miserable feeling, like, when you're at the gym and you just think you can't keep going. But it's like, dang it, I haven't failed yet and I'm still going and it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree.
Jesus and I, you know, we have a lot in common.
You have a lot in common?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know who else has a lot in common with me?
Who?
Is Mario Lopez.
Okay. How so?
In what way? People are always telling us, like, how good looking we are. Okay? It's like, oh, I feel like he and I are on the same page. Like, sometimes we just get tired of people telling us how good looking we are. And it's like, I know I'm very good looking. Okay?
I get it.
I know I am. We can talk about something else now.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why we're on radio, not TV.
I mean, it's a daily struggle for me.
Yeah.
But by God's grace, I'll make it.
I'm gonna revert back to the boxing gloves really fast before we lose everybody. I'm going back to the boxing gloves because I got really excited about taking my son. You know, my son is 4 years old, so when I took him, I think he was three. So I wanted to get him boxing gloves. I realized he wasn't interested, wasn't quite old enough to get there.
You get a little overexcited sometimes about this kind of thing.
I do. That is something.
You bought him a basketball goal before he was born, for instance.
True. But I wanted to make sure that I could sink a three from the living room before he's born. Like, I don't want to get, like, stood up by my one-year-old.
We lived together at the time, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. But, you know, there is something special about, you know, the dad getting boxing gloves and, like, kind of sparring with their son, kind of pushing them, teaching them, you know, showing them the ropes.
Ooh, ba-dunch.
With boxing. You know, and it's probably the first time that a guy, you know, that a boy gets hit and has to say, no, I'm going to stand back up.
Uh-huh. And you're, like, really introducing him to the realm of manliness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, physical, the manly world is a physical world. Yeah, you get knocked down, but you got to get back up.
The Spartans figured that out really fast.
Dude.
They like, taught those guys early.
I don't know if the Spartans were anything like the movie 300.
Yeah.
If they were anything like that movie, those guys were manly.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that. Intense.
Yeah. So anyway, the boxing gloves is the man gear. I think that every guy at some point should own some or have...
Or at least wear some.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely wear some.
Yeah. And, like, you should box somebody
else. Have you ever hit the speed bag before?
Yeah, I'm terrible at it. I can't do it.
It's so much fun.
I can't do it. But you had one in your room in high school.
Yeah, my dad bought
me one. So you practiced.
Yeah.
But you can go out for a friendly boxing match. It doesn't have to be like, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
And it is fun.
It is. So when we get back, we're going to have Mario Lopez on with us. Stay tuned. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with David Niles, and we have a very special guest on the phone with us today, Mr. Mario Lopez. Mario, thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us today.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So Mario, a mutual friend of ours, Mr. Scott Varga is the one who introduced us, got us connected with you. So shout out to Scott. We appreciate that. We've got about 24 minutes to get as much good Catholic man show information out of you. So I have 12 questions about Saved by the Bell. Number one. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do any of that.
Yeah. Mario, I do want to talk to you a little bit about the fight that just happened. You're an avid boxer. I think Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, is that right?
Yeah, I box and I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and sort of do it all, but those are the two main ones that I focus on and have been doing.
Okay, so what were your thoughts on, so there's obviously the Mayweather fight that just happened. There's also that Triple G and Canelo fight that's about to happen. Are you more excited about that one than the Mayweather one?
Oh, yeah. Worlds of difference. The first fight was a farce and was a pretty much a Ponzi scheme and just a big money play for those two guys. And Mayweather, don't be fooled, could have took him out when he wanted. He's not an offensive-minded fighter, so you got to realize he's a 40-year-old guy who hasn't fought in 2.5 years with brittle hands that was still able to take him out. And McGregor kept it interesting for a second just because Floyd allowed him to. Floyd didn't even throw jabs the first few rounds. But he sort of allowed him to tire himself out a little bit, started picking his shot, and then eventually took him out in the 10th. But I thought they robbed us of what could have been a spectacular knockout.
I agree.
And, and it was stopped a little too soon, but there really are no losers when there's that much money involved. But it was a fight with no substance, really, in the sense that it was nothing on the line, as opposed to September 16th, where I'll be, and you have the two best middleweights in the world, and pound for pound, a couple of the best fighters in the world with Canelo and Triple G. Now, that's a fight, and honestly, could go either way. I'm sort of leaning towards Triple G. But I think the public, I mean, the Mayweather fight was huge in pay-per-view because it was an excuse to sort of people get together, have a drink, and have a party. But there were still 5,000 tickets unsold on the day of the fight, and they had to paper the house, whereas Triple G Canelo was sold out in one day. So looking forward to being there. My wife's going to actually sing the national anthem. So
awesome.
That's kind of cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's that's going to be elite athletes and guys that at the top of the game and finding out who really the best fighter is.
So, Mario, I really think that you're probably one of just like a perfect guest for our show, the Catholic Man Show. We like all things man. We like to drink here on the show. We love to smoke a good cigar. And you have interests in both of those areas. Tell us about the tequila that you are partnered with.
Yeah, I have interest in both of those areas, and as well as being Catholic, so we do have a lot in common.
Yeah.
I like that. No, I got into tequila because, I like it, number one, and a friend of mine introduced me to someone who was just starting one, and I was getting married at the time, and long story short, he offered to provide the tequila for the wedding that was happening in Mexico. And I tried it, and I really liked it, and had a couple of friends try it, and they really like it. And so he wanted to sort of take things to the next level, and then he partnered with me, and I brought in my friend Oscar De La Hoya, and we now are all partners in Casa Mexico Tequila, which is, our slogan is it's in the taste, and it is a nice tasting. I have to send you guys a bottle. Nice tasting of tequila. And it's tequila drinking has become similar to almost wine drinking. It's sophisticated. You can sip it, and a lot of people think just sort of shots and parties and spring breaks, but that's not necessarily the case. And we have a silver reposado and an añejo, and it actually does taste really good. And the thing about tequila is, if you've got 100% agave and really some quality stuff, you're not going to wake up with a hangover the next day. Contrary to what people may think, that's really the truth. It actually has some health benefits.
So how do you like to drink it? Do you drink it just straight?
Just neat?
I like it. Yeah, I like it neat. I like it on the rocks. I'll enjoy a margarita once in a while, too.
Yeah.
So it's hot outside. But for the most part, I like it on the rocks.
So they can catch it at CasaMexicoTequila.com. Let's talk a little bit about your cigar smoking. What are your thoughts there? What's your pointers for guys who may be just getting into smoking a cigar?
You know, it usually complements the cocktail, I like to say. I actually like a cigar, too, with some coffee as well sometimes. But as far as a favorite, I like to mix it up, and I like to belong to like a cigar club, and they'll send different cigars. But the Opus comes to mind off the top of the head, the Opus One, and Arturo Fuente was the first cigar that I tried.
Yeah.
And there's so many good ones out there, but I like a nice sort of bold cigar, and a Robusto. And, you know, some can get pretty aggressive. There's 3-hour cigars, and you gotta have a long night ahead of you. But I generally like them, on the weekends when I'm enjoying a cocktail or some coffee.
Yeah, you know, I've never thought about having coffee with a cigar, but I could see that pairing really well. The bitterness of the coffee complementing the flavor of the cigar.
Yeah, it's a nice little compliment. Yeah.
So we've covered alcohol, smoking.
Yeah.
Let's cover Catholicism.
Yeah.
Mario, who was someone who has, you know, like a big impact in you on you growing up or even today, as far as your faith goes?
Well, my mom and my grandmother, growing up in a Latin Catholic family, it was always it was just something you did every week. And going older, I built more spiritual muscle, and just on my own, I go all the time, and I've got that Catholic guilt when I don't go, I enjoy that it's the foundation for how I live my life, as far as having someone to, in my mind, always talk to and turn to and have answers. And I love the community and sort of what it represents and the history and the stillness of it, if that makes sense. And so, my kids go to Catholic school, and it was important for me, for them to have a faith-based education. And now we go as a family. And it just seems that... if I start there and I try to do the right thing there, then everything else will sort of take care of itself.
Yeah, everything falls into place once you get that right.
Mario, did your faith life change much once you became a father?
I think it probably got stronger. I tried I was doing a lot more praying, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I would say so. I would say so. You know, it's... You're a practicing Catholic, right? So I'm always practicing.
Right.
You never get it perfect.
Absolutely.
So, but I think that's the thing, you know. And I make mistakes just like everyone else, and I have my struggles, and I have my weaknesses and temptations, I turn to God for strength, and pray about it every day, but. I feel it helps, and it makes me feel better and happier.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it gives you a common bond probably with your family. You know, it's something that you can build your family around.
Right, exactly. And I think that's important when growing a family, building a family, you need to have some sort of infrastructure and points to as far as right and wrong when you're raising children. So... I think that's extremely important, because obviously a lot of questions are going to be asked.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does. It kind of gives you that starting point to build on, that tradition, because it's really a tradition that holds families together. You know, maybe not immediate families, but when you get into the extended families and, when it starts to get, your families start to get big, as they often do, having a tradition between everybody is what keeps you all together, you know, because otherwise people are busy and... You know, you just, it's tough to make time. But
right, exactly. No, you're exactly right.
we're about to come up on a break, so I have a lot of questions about like Instagram accounts, because you know finally the Catholic media seems to be jumping into the social media and really taking head on with social media. There's a lot of really great Instagram accounts out there that are Catholic. There's, you know, Twitter accounts and everything else. A couple that you know you and I, Dave and I are familiar with, like Catholic Imagery. I don't want to cut it short though, because we're about to hit the break, because I want to get your take on, you know, just the Catholic world in general finally breaching the social media aspects to reach the masses. So Dave, when we get back, we'll jump on that. And we're here with talking with Mario Lopez. Mario, why don't you give them your Twitter handle account so they can follow you there?
I'm at Mario Lopez Extra.
At Mario Lopez Extra. Awesome. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We will be right back here with Mario Lopez.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Sitting next to me is my best friend, Adam Minahan. We're joined on the phone by the one and only Mario Lopez. Mario, thanks again for being here. Right before the break, we were talking about just some different social media platforms, Instagram being one of them. There's a lot of people who have really starting to figure out how to use these platforms to evangelize, and just maybe even not overtly evangelize, but just to be a presence, you know, a religious presence, a presence of Christ to those people who are there. Why don't you talk about some of those who have made an impact on you?
Well, I think they're important platforms. I was reluctant a little, to be honest, to sort of get on the social media, a little old school. But then because of work, they kind of forced me to.
Sure.
But now I really
yeah.
like it. I think it's a great way to engage with people that may be supporters of yours and like-minded people, of course, and people that you're fans of, and you build a community and getting information. I think it's fantastic. So I really only do Instagram and Twitter. I think I have a Facebook and somebody does it for me. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but
that's
the ones
I
actually handle are my Twitter and Instagram. And there are a couple of Catholic ones, Catholic Imagery, who I know, both of us, or all of us, I should say, follow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's Catholic Boss.
Yeah.
Guy out of New York, I believe, and I really like. Gosh, off the top of my head, those are the two that come to mind. There might be another one, Catholic, well, something or other. But the point is, I think because it is so influential and you do reach so many people, and to have that kind of constant little reminder, because people get almost addicted, for lack of better words, scrolling through their feed, and to have that little reminder of God and your faith there, I think that's important to visually see it, and it kind of helps keep yourself in check a little bit, and I enjoy it, and it might be the little spiritual uplift that you need in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree, and I think that you have to be you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, you almost have to be disciplined when it comes to social media, because it can be addictive. It can be something that just draws you in and sucks. It's a big time waster, big time suck.
It can be.
Yeah. So man, you're a guy who like does a ton of things. I mean, you're on the radio, you're on the TV, you have a ton of things that you do. I think men in general, a lot of times struggle with discipline. You're disciplined in both, it seems like, your spiritual and your physical life. Talk a little bit about how you keep you stay disciplined and things that maybe help you stay disciplined?
Well, I think my spirituality helps me stay disciplined, and I've always had a pretty strong work ethic, but sometimes my priorities weren't always in check, and I would get distracted, let's say. But, you know, as I've gotten older, and especially as I have a family and responsibility other than myself, then my priorities are pretty clear, and I'm all about, like, my faith and my family and work, and everything else sort of, if it doesn't fall under that umbrella, then it's not really worth any of my time or energy. And all my time and energy is spent towards that, and anything else can be distracting. And so it's got to kind of fall in those three little categories as far as my priorities are concerned. And that's why I'm not really worried or allow myself, or I try not to allow myself to stress or worry about other things. I don't have to deal with that.
Sure, sure. So do you, in order to maintain discipline across all the aspects of your life, is a routine, is that important to that maintenance?
Yeah, I'm a big routine guy when it comes to my house. I mean, pardon me, when I'm here at home, I mean, I do some traveling, so it's hard to slip out of your routine a little bit, but
yeah.
I maintain my routine for the most part and pretty good discipline when I'm here in L.A. And as busy as I am, I usually always have breakfast with my kids, which I just did, and am home in time for dinner. It's just I'm doing a hundred things in between. But so it's pretty normal in that sense. And home every night, and unless I've got a certain meeting or what have you here and there. But for the most part, that's the routine. And once in a while, I'll have to travel on the weekends to do stuff. But, you know, I'm always there for the family.
Speaking of your family, you just started a new YouTube channel, the Family Lopez YouTube channel. Talk a little bit about that. It's been, I actually saw one not too long ago with your little boy. Talk a little bit about your YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's the Lopez Family YouTube channel, on YouTube, obviously. And, you know, in these times right now, I think some family-friendly programming could sort of use or relate to, and that's just exactly what it is. It's fun, it's funny, it's family friendly, and we talk about our I'm not shy talking about our faith and food, all the F's: faith, food, fun, fitness, family, and our culture. All that is explored, and you know, my kids are the stars of that. The kids and the dogs, really. So, check it out on YouTube, the Lopez Family.
So, Mario, one thing that I've been curious about, because I've heard different people say different things about this, about having a faith that they wear on their sleeve and working in Hollywood at the same time. Have you found that, you know, that has, you know, has anyone criticized you for that, you know, being overtly Catholic while working in Hollywood, or has that been kind of a no big deal? Everybody just embraces you for who you are across the board.
Well, I know you're not supposed to talk about politics or religion, and as far as politics, I don't talk about it. It's, you know, especially out here, everyone's extremely liberal, and it's hypocrisy, because if you don't, they preach tolerance and being accepting. Unless you disagree with them, then they're far from it, right? So I don't talk about the politics, but you know, I'm not ashamed to talk about my faith. So I do. I'm not trying to beat anyone over the head with anything, but I'll do my post. I'll do like my spiritual Sunday posts and do it like once a week, and or I'll talk about my kids and certain things and regarding Catholic school, and so I'll talk about it. It'll be sprinkled there, and I'm not ashamed of it. And on the contrary, I get complimented a lot, and I think people know that, you know, I'm a conservative guy, and maybe the way I lean towards things, but you kind of got to be smart. As far as this business, unfortunately, you don't want to put too much stuff out there, because it's they might hold it against you, unfortunately, which
sure
is sad, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So yeah, and you really do have the opportunity, and you know this, to be a role model for someone. It can be as simple as, wow, I'm now validated to feel the way I feel. You know, I thought maybe I was the only guy who felt this way, but I see Mario, he's, you know, he had some tweet that talked about praying more. Okay, you know, maybe it's okay for me to talk about praying more too. Have you had any experience with someone telling you that, you know, that that impacted them?
Well, other than they're happy to see that, I'm proud of my faith, and it makes them feel a little bit more comfortable, you know, they're happy to see that I'm vocal, and especially in this community. And so, yeah, I've people have reached out and said some nice stuff.
I have a question that I like to ask everybody that I talk to, just out of curiosity. Do you have a favorite saint? Like, do you have a saint that's one of your favorites, the story of a saint, or somebody that you look up to?
Well, my son is named after Saint Dominic, so I should say him, right? But that was also my wife's grandfather's name.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I do like Saint Dominic and Saint Francis, maybe. Mm-hmm. Two,
yeah,
right. There's, and if we have another boy, I got to think of another cool saint name. So.
I mean, there's a couple heavyweights right there, just to mix boxing metaphors.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you do a 4 hour or like a 4 hour radio show. You're probably about to get to it right now. Like, is it tough to prep for that? Is it tough to get up and do that every single day?
Fortunately, I've got some good producers that handle a lot of that stuff, and that's probably one of my favorite. Favorite jobs, and where it gets intimate, and you can be yourself and tell stories, and it's a good time, and I love music, so yeah, that's a lot of fun. I'm on my way to do it right now, as a matter of fact.
So for those who've never, we've just got about a minute left. For those who've never heard your show, On Air with Mario Lopez, what do you do on the show?
We talk about pop culture, current events, and music, and talk to the latest music pop stars.
Right on.
Awesome.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing today, Adam.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing today. So just a recap, CasaMexicoTequila.com. Go check that out. Make sure you follow Mario Lopez on Twitter. It's Mario Lopez Extra. Mario, I want to thank you so much. I know you're a busy dude, but thanks so much for carving out the time to hang out with us, man. It's been a blast.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, we all have the same interests here, and I like what you guys are doing, so keep it up.
Thanks a lot,
right,
man.
Thanks. This has been The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles.
All right, take care, guys.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.